TFUSA.org.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. And we're broadcasting live out of Kanatistan, occupied by globalists. And it is Snowmageddon 2014. Apparently, there were some angry beavers found dead that tested positive for Ebola, brought on by the snowpocalypse from the polar vortex caused by global warming. That's right, folks. Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Snowmageddon 2014 on Angry Beaver Radio. Remember lake effect snow from the Great Lakes? Forget that. It is now polar vortex snow caused by climate change and rising sea temperatures, according to the climate cultists that deny the science of lake effect snow. Now, so Snowmageddon, Buffalo got hit by a giant snowstorm again, like they, throughout history, they do. They're at the tip of Lake Erie. Basically, Lake Erie, a portion of it evaporated into the sky, and the northwesterly winds blew that evaporated developing storm across Lake Erie, gathering steam, and dumped it all on Buffalo. Okay, so regardless of the temperature of the sea, this snow came from Lake Erie. Didn't come from Lake Michigan, didn't come from Lake Huron. Didn't come from Lake Ontario. Came from Lake Erie. Okay, it's not, you know, whether the temperature of the sea on the west coast or the east coast, that's not the case here. This is called lake effect snow. The Great Lakes produce their own weather. It's very unpredictable. When it comes to lake effect snow, it comes off in streams and bands. You can get, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 feet in one area. And then 20 kilometers north or south get only a couple inches. It's that concentrated, and it comes off the lakes. And when the Great Lakes freeze over, like what happened last year, you don't get the evaporation that you did when they're open. So the lake effect snow drastically goes down when the lakes freeze over. That doesn't happen all the time, but hey, it happened last year, and we're told again that was caused by global warming or climate change. Now that it's so warm that everything's freezing over, they changed it from global warming to the term is now climate change.
Well, John, look at the out west. When you go not out west, but if you go down east, you go to Newfoundland, you got sea effect snow. Not lake effect, that's sea effect snow. And in Buffalo, and being where the you know, the Great Lakes are and stuff like that, Buffalo gets more snow than they do out in out in that area.
Well, you know, the climate cultists are all saying this is climate change, and you know, it's Cal farts and you driving a car that's causing this, and that's not the case. It is evaporation taking place over top of Lake Erie and then dumping it down in snow form on top of Buffalo. It's been happening for a long time. People say, well, this is historic. This is record. No, it's not. Okay, in 1977, you had over 100 inches of snow in a lake effect snow squall. You know, this happens all the time. I used to live in Barrie, Ontario. And we would get quite a bit of lake effect snow coming off of Georgian Bay and Lake Huron. And most of the streamers we were getting were just off of Georgian Bay, which is part of Lake Huron. But they weren't coming off of the bigger portion. Most of the streamers we're getting were off of Georgian Bay, and that's smaller than Lake Erie. And I remember several years where we would get 4, 5, 6 feet of snow in a matter of days, just constant squalls. And it was just the right wind, you know, hitting it at the right angle, the right air conditions, temperature conditions, and you get lake effect snow. Now, this type of weather, you don't get the snow, but in the summertime, you get thunderstorms that are unpredictable that occur and develop over top of the Great Lakes. Again, because these lakes are so big that they create their own weather.
And don't in the summertime, don't they have the Tornado Alley up that area?
Well, we do get tornadoes up here, but Tornado Alley is more like the Midwest down in the States. I don't know the exact phenomenon with that. But, I mean, the tornadoes is another thing. Like the climate alarmists or the climate cultists say that this is extreme weather extremes caused by global warming. And they do the same thing. There was a big tornado outbreak, I believe it was in Oklahoma, and they said the same thing. You know, we're getting more tornadoes and higher frequencies and more violent storms because of the global warming and the climate change. And it's like, I looked up the numbers, and according to NOAA's own numbers, they had about 600 tornadoes that year, where the yearly average is over 1,200 a year. So they had about half of the tornadoes of the yearly average. And the climate cultists are saying that somehow 600 is more than 1,200. I know how to do math. 600 is about half as much. If they were smart, they would use their own statistics and their own data to tell the lies that they want to tell. Instead of, you know, according to their own statistics and data, they're lying.
Yeah, but we've had the global or even climate change for as long as the Earth has been around. What are you going to blame us for that too?
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys aren't convinced that this was a HAARP attack?
A HAARP attack? No, not necessarily, because it's just we've seen this type of this amount of snow being dumped before off the Great Lakes. You know, a few days of snow squalls, it adds up to 6 feet in no time. You know, and that I've seen that in all over the surrounding Great Lakes areas. It's just very unpredictable. Could there have been some type of geoengineering or some type of weather manipulation to help persuade such a big storm? I mean, anything's possible, but I don't have any reason to believe that, you know, like these storms are quite typical coming off the Great Lakes, especially early in the season when the lakes are wide open, nothing's frozen up. So you get maximum evaporation occurring over top of these lakes.
Yeah, it's just weird that it's so close to Toronto, and Toronto's only got like 1 inch of snow, but...
Well, you just have to, if you track the storm, you can see it. Like, it's a small band that comes off of Lake Erie and nails Buffalo. Like, this is not Lake Superior snow. This is not caused by rising sea temperatures. You know, this is snow squalls off of Lake Erie. So if you watch the way the wind's going and pushing the cloud, yeah, it totally missed us. You know, I'm in Hamilton, just north of Buffalo. On the north side of Lake Erie, we've only got a few inches of snow. And it's warmed up today. It's going to be raining. It's raining out there, so it's all melting. It'll be gone in no time. But again, that's just how snow squalls and lake effect snow happen. Sometimes you get light flurries of lake effect snow, but when you get squalls, I mean, you're just getting pounded and pounded with the stuff. And it's no big surprise to me. And especially since this is not the first time that this is historic, and then you look it up and you're like, no, it's not historic. Buffalo historically gets nailed with snow like this. That's what you find out, and you're like, so this is nothing new.
It's all about location, location, location. And they just happen to be in that location where they're going to get dumped on.
Well, and I mean, geoengineering, I think, is a whole nother discussion, you know. Can they take a storm that's already happening and can they foster it and make it bigger? Whether it's a rainstorm or a thunderstorm or a snowstorm, I don't know. I'm sure they've experimented with it. Did they do it here? You know, I don't know. It's a crap load of snow, but we've had more. They've had more. It's happened before, you know, so. But I mean, the whole idea that it's the rising temperature of the sea, according to the Weather Channel.
Yeah, I've seen that today where they're talking about that and talking about the, around the North Pole and stuff like that. And they're showing images of the all the ice caps like exploding and then cracking off. And, you know, it's just craziness, you know, and they're blaming.
That's where the snow came from. Yeah. It was a cracked off piece of ice cap from the North Pole. I mean, it's just, they might as well say that. It's absurd, right? The lake effect snow is caused by the lake. It has nothing to do with the sea.
That's right. Yeah, it's a whole different system.
And it doesn't even have anything to do with the Great Lakes in general. It has to do, if you watch the weather systems, the Pound of Buffalo, you can clearly see all that snow came off of Lake Erie. All of it. Not Lake Michigan, not Lake Superior, not Lake Huron, not Lake Ontario. It all came off of Lake Erie. So, tell us again how rising sea temperature or the sea temperature has any effect on the lake effect snow caused by the lake. I don't know. I'm just, you know, these liars, paid UNESCO liars at the Weather Channel is just ridiculous. They're telling you you got to pay taxes because of how the weather's going to be in 50 years. So you got to pay a carbon tax. And you got to pay higher energy prices.
They figure that it's going to get worse as it goes along. They can't. You know, 50 years is going to get worse.
They can't even get the weekly forecast right. These people are retards.
Could it keep changing all the time?
Tell you what the weather is going to be like this week or next week. They're that far off. How are they going to tell you what it's going to be like in a year from now, or 10 years from now, or 50 years from now? They don't know. I mean, you need to watch the Weather Channel, you need a shovel and a snowblower. And the snowblower is not for blowing snow, it's for blowing BS.
Yeah.
Flying out the chute. Yeah, that's what you need. You need a plow for to watch their garbage.
You know who's a good, interesting character is the guy that was the founder of the Weather Channel. That the Weather Channel's now disowned him, but he exposes the global warming as a hoax.
Right, so you've got the previous founder of the Weather Channel, who's been disowned, exposing the climate change hoax.
Yeah,
the founder of the Weather Channel, did he ever work on there, like as the weatherman on there, or
you might have when they started. Before? He might have, because it was when they started. It was like the first one. Yeah, it was like a. It's a revolutionary thing because it was 24 hours a day. It was like just weather all the time. And it's like, really, is there ever commercials on the Weather Channel? There's not many. So how does it actually get funding? And that's what I wonder. And then maybe it is just a UN thing.
When are they going to start showing us all the chemtrail cover on the Weather Channel?
Yeah, but that would blow their cover, so to speak.
No, but I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, there's no... Nothing in the forecast for clouds or rain or anything. Then the sky is completely murked out with jet exhaust or whatever the hell they're spraying up there. And it blocks out the entire sun. I mean, show that on the radar. Why isn't it that included? I mean...
Chemtrails have not...
Or it's state secrets because they're spraying chaff. Military-grade chaff.
Well, this is why the Weather Channel does not show us live... satellite imagery of the Earth, and they show us, you know, three-color cartoon three-year-old drawings of the planet. That's what it is, like three colors, four colors. It's all like solid, you know, filled-in color. You can't see the planet from space, lifetime, because all you'd see is a bunch of atmospheric geoengineering going on. And you'd be like, okay, well, yeah, you got this rain system here, but what the heck's all this crap?
What? And they even show it.
They should show.
They even show it, guys, when they do commercials on the boob tube. They show, and you can see chemtrails in the background.
Yeah, so why is that crazy? From us on the Weather Network. Stop hiding it. Just put it out. You stop showing us 4-year-old drawings of the planet and what weather system's coming in. Give us a live, real satellite imagery of the weather systems and all the atmospheric geoengineering going on at the same time. We want to see it. We've seen satellite photos of the atmospheric geoengineering, and it just looks ridiculous. It looks like a bloody tic-tac-toe board covering half a continent. And folks, if you've never seen this, look it up. Atmospheric geoengineering satellite photos, or geoengineering satellite photo. Google searches. See, you'll see the pictures I'm talking about. That's what it would look like most of the time in many areas of the globe if the Weather Network were to show you live footage from a satellite of the planet. Instead, that's why they just show you four-color cartoon four-year-old drawings. Look like somebody with a crayon drew their maps.
Well, one weatherman, I mentioned that before, he called it filtered sun. That's what he called it, filtered sun.
Oh, it's a filter, solar radiation management, SRM.
Yes.
One term that they're using now. So they'll call it that. They'll still call everyone a chemtard who talks about chemtrails or even geoengineering. And they've, you know, the Harvard jackasses now refer to it to solar radiation management, or SRM, according to the Environment Canada own documents. So, I don't know. Environment Canada has a 25-page document on geoengineering. Doesn't tell you much. It tells you that it basically says they're doing it. Doesn't tell you really much about exactly what it is. It does mention solar radiation management amongst other programs, but it does not go into great detail. It's like a 25-page glimpse and a basic admission that they're doing something to save you from the global warming.
Yeah.
It's causing snowmageddon. I don't know, folks. It's just...
I like global warming. I'd rather have that than
global cooling. So before we go on there, before I go on there, guys, I want to give a shout out to my Skype friend Suad, who I gave him the link for the radio show. He's in Albania, and he said he would be listening right now. So I'll give a shout out to him. I always talk to him, and to Zaidan from Egypt. He's on Facebook as well as Skype. So I'll give a shout out to him, and to Truth Movement Canada, which I'm part of their group. So I want to give a shout out to them. So continue there, John.
Well, I don't know. Do we have anything else on the Snowmageddon topic, or should we move on?
Well, as you know, the Antarctica is probably the coldest area in the planet. Where those ships got stuck in the snow?
Yeah.
Ice? Yeah, it only snows there, they can maybe get 28 centimeters a year, tops, because it doesn't melt. The colder it is, it doesn't snow as much. But then if you go to the North Pole, it snows there quite a bit, because it's not as cold as the Antarctica. So wouldn't the Antarctica have anything to do with the weather in that area, or if you get closer to more inland, wouldn't it have a solar polar vortex, if you want to call it that?
I don't know what a polar vortex is. I think there's cold air masses on this north and south poles because it's cold there.
Well, if you live near the
equator, and it moves around with the jet streams.
Yeah.
So this new term they use, polar vortex, I mean, that's just new to me. It's just another buzzword they're using. I don't even know if it's real. But yeah. I know that there's cold air masses in the North and South Poles, and they're moved around by the jet stream. And then they move up and down with the seasons. But
so the climate change, we need climate change. Climate change has been around since the Earth has been formed. So you can't manipulate the climate change. Climate change has always been changing. So that's what gives you the four seasons, which we all love.
Well, try explaining that to the 500 people that were down at the beaches in Australia at the G20, burying their heads in the sand like ostriches, like the ostriches they are, demanding that get their carbon taxes back. They want their carbon tax back, and they feel they're country is not doing enough to fight global warming. So Australia got rid of the carbon tax. They implemented it. They realized they made a mistake. They got rid of it. And now you got the lemmings down there, the ostriches burying their heads in the sand down at the beach, literally burying their heads in the sand. And these are the people that support the G20.
Yeah, exactly.
These are the New World Order's friends. They're their supporters. And, you know, they're ostriches burying their heads in the sand, quite literally, physically digging a hole on the beach, putting their heads in the sand for a giant photo op to show the world that they're engaged in some type of ritualistic climate cult. I don't know.
But you didn't see any protests down there, did you?
I wonder if there was Kool-Aid at the bottom of those holes that they dug.
There was a few protests, but they're all very small.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because you didn't see anything. And
I think some of them were even staged. Somebody was telling me they did one for Putin to try to get Putin to leave Australia. It was like a staged protest. Probably Harper was probably down there chanting.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Can't keep him out of the whole situation. You kidding? He's one of the big dealers around, you know.
I think it was in a, it's more of like a beachside resort place, though, where it was. It was like Brisbane or something. It's not like a big city like in Toronto or London or whatever where people go crazy when they have a G20. I mean, G20 is finally learning they should just have it at a resort or a smaller location.
But Michael, you mentioned about this vessel that got frozen into Antarctica during the summer months in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, in the summer. Can you imagine?
This vessel was on an expedition to research global warming. It was a global warming or climate change research vessel that got frozen into Antarctica. And good thing, because they saved us from the global warming. Whatever they did down there, it worked. Because it worked real fast, faster than they expected. So fast that they froze their whole boat in and somebody had to go help them. So, you know, whatever they did down there must have worked.
Yeah.
They defeated the global warming.
Well, some of the eastern parts of Antarctica, they're up around, the temperature's around minus 90 plus in certain areas.
Oh, nice and warm. Yeah, I think it was going to opening up a beach resort hotel. And that.
Yeah, really. But how cold is that? I mean, like, we find that, minus 10 is like, it's freezing over here, you know. But up in the minus 80s and 90s, I mean, like, come on, that's it's hard to even think of, you know. But it does happen. It's colder down there than it is in the North Pole.
Well, if climate gandist Al Gore actually believed the nonsense he spews, he wouldn't be buying up beachfront property because he says the sea levels are going to rise. So he wouldn't be buying up property on sea level, and he wouldn't be buying up property so far south. You'd think he'd be buying up high and dry land way up north, say in Alaska or northern Canada or maybe up there in Nunavut or Greenland.
Well, maybe he's buying a houseboat. There's such a thing as a houseboat.
Yeah, he's going to live in a houseboat on his flat-out beachfront property. But, I mean, he doesn't even believe his own lies, according to his own actions.
Otherwise, building an earth.
He could be accused for insurance fraud. Say the sea levels did rise and flooded out his newly bought house. The insurance company could just say, Al, you knew this was going to happen, buddy. You did this to scam us. But no, I'm just joking when it comes to that.
Well, it's not too far off the mark, John. I mean, like, why not?
But yeah, if he believed his own propaganda, he'd be buying high and dry land in the mountains of Alaska, getting ready for the warm temperatures up there.
Watching his favorite movie, John Wayne, North to Alaska.
Making sure he's well above sea level and buying up southern beachfront property. Right at sea level. Maybe he's just suicidal. Nobody likes him.
What's happening?
Go ahead, Mark.
You know, what's happening in California? They're still getting a drought up there. A lot of people think it might be HARP or something like that doing this, but is this unusual for California to have this long a drought?
Yeah, it's quite a drought going on. This has been going on for years. And it's first started with a man-made.
Oh.
And it's got to be it's at least partially a man-made drought. I mean, many of the farms have been shut off, turned off their water years ago. These farms had many mature fruit trees that all got, they all died of starvation. They had no water, so they all got chopped up into firewood and sold as firewood. And it takes about 25 years to get a mature fruit tree. So it's not just like other crops where, you know, well, you can plant the next year and you'll be ready to harvest. You know, you won't be ready to harvest for another 25, 30 years. Now, this was years ago. Now it's perpetuated even further. The drought's been ongoing. More and more farmers and people are being cut off. And part of the pressure on the system is the fracking industry in that area is sucking a lot of the groundwater. And then you have the bottled watered companies. There's quite a few of them still just pumping it out. Drill deeper and pump it out, drill deeper, pump it out. And they're just sucking out, you know, between all the different industries, sucking out the interior.
Yeah, and they're the ones that tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to tell you you don't have the right to water. Come on.
Well, that groundwater should be reserved for the farms and the residential water as priority. But I mean, it's a bigger problem. I mean, why aren't there more desalination plants and reverse osmosis plants on the coasts of, all the countries?
The fire department commander.
Hey, I have an idea. This Buffalo got hit with a lot of snow. Why don't we bottle our water down there?
There you go.
Melt it up, and geez, you got water for I don't know how long. 5-10 years worth of water.
Yeah, see, where we are, we don't have a water shortage issue, and we will never will in our lifetime.
No. You go in the lakes, you look.
Yeah, we're surrounded by it. But we're coming up to break, guys. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Angry Beaver Radio.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark. As ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky, and you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now,
part of the Micro Plant Powder family. Micro Plant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
The Covert Report with Susan Lindauer. Saturday and Sunday on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
What if what they really want is for us to herd children in the stadiums like we're doing and put soldiers on the street and have Americans looking over their shoulders? Bend the law, shred the Constitution just a little bit. Because if we torture him, General, we do that, and everything that we have bled and fought and died for is over. And they've won.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. We were talking about the drought in California. Seems to be partially man-made. Through the overusing of the groundwater. But, you know, the whole idea was that, you know, to have the government even regulate it was to keep this from happening. So you give the government the power to regulate it, and then they allowed the corporations to run amok, and they chop off the farms and the small individuals, and, you know, it kind of backfired. So, I mean, the solution is to have the cities on coastal areas start using reverse osmosis or desalinization and start using seawater to supply fresh water. It's that simple. We're never going to run out of seawater. So that's one solution. The other solution is to tell the corporations, especially in drought-affected areas that are being affected by drought, that, no, you cannot just drill in and suck as much water as you want, and no, you can't pay for it. Go somewhere, go where the water is, or go to the sea. Now, some would argue, you know, like against government regulation. I understand that, but that's one part of a non-government or an anarchy type society. Is you would have corporations that are already running amok in the society now. Continue to run amok. You know, Nestle would, there's nothing that would stop Nestle from drilling and sucking out all the resources anywhere. The idea is that the government's supposed to step in and stop that, but they don't, right? And you and I can't do that.
Well,
you and I can't just run around.
Why?
Would stop us, but they won't stop Nestle. So is no regulation for Nestle, let's just, for instance, is that going to stop Nestle from doing what they're doing? No. The only thing I can think that would stop them is if, you know, enough people formed a lawsuit against them or something. That's, you know, maybe one aspect, but.
Well, it's crappy water to begin with anyway. It's not that great.
Oh, Nestle's water? Typically it's pretty crappy, yeah.
Must have drink toilet water for crying out loud. But, you know, like I said before, you got to look at the mineral salts, dissolved mineral salts. If the mineral salts numbers are lower, your quality of water is better. If it's higher, then it's not as good a quality. Bottom line.
Well, with all this fracking and bottle watering, does the government know what they're doing and what the consequences are for doing it? If they do know what they're doing, then it is an agenda to maybe shut down farms and build factory farms where the quality of food's no good.
No, it definitely is part of an agenda called Agenda 21. It's definitely one small aspect of a major agenda. And that is to shut down. That's what they did. The government shut down the farms' water rights and gave all the water rights to the fracking companies and to bottled water companies to suck up as much water as they want in an area that's already undergoing a drought. Meanwhile, all the farms are selling their fruit trees as firewood. It's been going on for years now. Now, obviously, the lack of rain is also a factor in that. It's not all man-made. They haven't been getting that much rainfall. So you combine that with the added pressure on the system, and that's what's causing this drought. But again, there's ways to mitigate it, but they won't, because that's not the plan. The plan is not to build a better society or a better system or a better water system. The plan is not to have abundance. The plan is to have scarcity. You know, this is the philosophy of Malthus, Malthusian philosophy.
Well, they down to Florida, they might as well take all the snow and ship it down there, right, in freezers, and just dump it, give it all to them. They can have all the water they want.
Well, whether you're talking about Florida or California or anywhere.
Sure, anywhere that's got a drought. Take all the snow from Buffalo. There's enough there to take care of them.
Why would we move snow from Buffalo when they're on the coast? You see, we can convert seawater to fresh water. We can do it quite effectively.
Sure we can, yes.
It's called reverse osmosis or desalinization. Open up a plant. You got all the water right there. So, I mean, it's just stupidity. That's all I can chalk it up as. It's, you know, these supposed progressives, you know, they don't.
Why do we have to do all that? Why?
Because there's not enough interior water.
Yeah, why do we have to do that? Why do we have to buy filters? Why, you know?
I know, Mark. I see what you're coming from. You want to be able to just dunk your head in a stream or a river and just drink the water, you know. But unfortunately, we can't do that.
No, it's full of pathogens. You'd get sick.
I mean, should I have to buy a filter? You know, like, why can't I just go to the tap and know it's fresh? You know.
Well, I'm not talking about a reverse.
Don't waste money over, you know,
I'm not talking about
stupid Middle East countries.
I'm not talking about an under the sink dinky little reverse osmosis filter system. I'm talking about a city water treatment system that's massive that is reverse osmosis. It's about the size of a couple tractor trailers. I'm not talking about some dinky thing that goes.
Have that system in even though they want to dump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're on a pretty long delay here.
Yeah, it's like climate change hitting the airwaves here.
Solar radiation,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, will all these cities end up in a man-made drought, and we have the technology to suck as much seawater up and turn it into fresh water? I just don't understand why we don't put in reverse osmosis filter systems along the coastline. I see no plans for that now or in the future, and all I see is all this stuff where, oh, we're running out of water.
No, because the reason why we've got the wrong people in charge here, that's why.
Well, the people in charge are there to create a false scarcity of everything.
Exactly.
Jack up the price and make it into a UN Agenda 21 hellhole.
There you go. Vote them out and put the people you like in. Easy. But we got to get everybody doing it. We just can't just one person want to do it, another person, I don't feel like doing it. We got to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, but I mean, right now, we don't have anyone to vote in.
Yeah, exactly. What have you got left?
There's nobody real is running right now. So you'd have to, people have to not just pay attention to politics and vote. They need to actually get involved and run. Start a party or something. I mean, you know, we vote in the liberals against the conservatives, and are they going to do anything different? No. Is the NDP going to change anything for the better? I don't think so.
Yeah.
We're just, you know what I mean? So, I mean, we could all show up to vote tomorrow and vote the one guy out and the next puppet in. They all work for the same people.
Yeah, exactly.
We need real people to run.
Yeah, those are the people that are between the 40 and the 50 people that are running that you don't hear about. Those are the ones you should be voting for.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, things can be done on the local level. I mean, if you get a good city mayor and council that say they wanted to put a reverse osmosis system in, they should be able to get it done. But yeah. I'm not saying that's for all towns and cities. I mean, I'm right on the Great Lakes. I don't think it would be worth it. You know, but for cities that are, you know, facing a drought and are on the coast, well, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, living on the coast, I don't call that a drought because there's water all over there.
Well, that's what's happening, though.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not like a drought.
I think we don't have the technology to use this seawater. It's ridiculous. We do. We have the technology. There's treatment systems that treat entire cities from seawater. All they got to do is order some up. There's tons of companies that build them, sitting there twiddling their thumbs,
that hoping would be somebody crazy.
Calls them up for another treatment plant. But you know, our government doesn't seem interested in that. They just seem interested in sell off whatever resources we can and perpetuate the false scarcity.
Well, that's what Harper was doing in Australia.
I don't know what he was doing in Australia. He's just over there to make some political gesture towards Putin. Like, get out of Ukraine.
what are we doing in Ukraine?
Yeah, that's what we're doing in Ukraine.
What are we doing anywhere over there?
Did Stephen Harper consult with George Soros before he went over to make his remarks?
I don't know. Maybe they all keep in communication with each other, of course.
Well, Harper's supposed to be, you know, Mr. Conservative, Mr. Arch Enemy of the Left. Meanwhile, you got billionaire communist left-wing George Soros over there up to his eyeballs in the Ukraine Revolution, in fomenting it and funding it and stirring the pot amongst other globalists. And Harper's supposed to be his arch nemesis, you know. And he's right in there on side with George Soros, admitted Nazi collaborator, helped round up Jewish people for the SS, gets awards from the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's funny, you ever heard of that, the Southern Poverty Law Center guys?
Mm-hmm.
They give awards to people like George Soros, Nazi collaborators, and then they do hit pieces on groups like We Are Change, calling them racist and comparing them to Nazis and KKK people.
That's a Mark Potok.
Mark Potok, yeah. So they give awards to known admitted Nazi collaborators that literally admit to rounding up Jewish people for the SS. I mean, Hitler Youth, literal Hitler Youth. They give him awards and they call actual activists. They group them in with KKK and Nazis and this other stuff, calling them all racist. It's all political BS. But yeah, it just reminded me of that, the Southern Poverty Law Center and Mark Potok. They're a bunch of racists. That's what we should make up a website and categorize them for what they are.
Throw it right back at them.
Yeah, throw it right back at them. We'll make a list. Mark Potok number.
Check it twice.
American racist number one, Mark Potok.
Yeah, they're in with the crippled epistemology.
And we're the nice Canadians.
Cass Sunstein.
Mr. Potok, we're the nice Canadians, you know. And we're not going to say sorry about this. You are the number one racist.
Hey.
Given George Soros awards for what? Like, how many Jews do you got to round up into a camp to get an award from Mark Potok in the Southern Poverty Law Center? How many is it, Mark? Not you, Mark. The other Mark.
I wouldn't know.
It's absurd. It's ridiculous. And he's going to sit up there and, you know, call half the people in the alternative media racists and all this other crap, and extremists and domestic terrorists. It's just ridiculous. Mark Potok is a terrorist. He is.
Yeah, I believe it.
He's guilty of sedition. Probably treason as well. I'm not sure.
I might as well throw that in there, too.
Why not? Usually sticks, so why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Let the court figure it out.
Yeah. You know, getting off topic a little bit, I put a link up there. I bought a JFK LP record of all his speeches.
Oh, right. Isn't it the anniversary? happening right now? Is it 51 years?
50. I was in November 22nd. 22nd, yeah.
That's today.
Yeah, that's so today. It's 51 years today.
Yeah, 51 years today. And I bought the album at Goodwill for $1.50. Yeah, I gave you the link there.
Yeah, but do you still have a record player to play it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, because that's becoming more rare.
Well, you can buy these at Target or HMV. You can buy these record players, just plug it into your receiver, and there you go. You're going. This is a fantastic, this is a rare find. I've checked up on eBay, and everybody calls me a rare, you know. And I finally got my hands on one. Couldn't believe it. For $1.50.
Yeah, looks like it's just classic speech quotes, though, from the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, how many quotes are on there, Mike?
Oh, quite a few quotes that he did with the Illuminati one, and everything else that goes with it. Yeah. What a find, a rare find like that. It could probably be worth a lot. I checked on eBay, and it's like $15, depending on the condition. Mine is actually in pretty good condition, so it has a typical wear and tear on it, you know, normal, but it looks in pretty darn good condition. And I'm glad I picked that up, and it really came right on the heels of the anniversary, pretty much, when I bought it the other day. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'll have to have a listen to that.
Definitely.
It might be online somewhere if folks want to look it up. They might be able to find somebody who's already put it up there on the internet. But, yeah, you can get the, what is it? It's a turntable with a USB plug on it, and they're relatively cheap. I've seen them as low as $60-$70. And that way you can play the turntable and record it right onto your computer.
Those are more expensive one. I got the one just below that where it doesn't have that function, but just put it up to your hook it up to your receiver, you're good to go. Right. But one thing about the needles in these things, the needles back in the day, you had to flip them over because you had your 45s and your 33s, which you had a specific needle for it, like a diamond needle. Right. Those were only for playing your 45s and your LPs, but with 78s, you had to flip it over to the needle that's supposed to be used for the 78s. But with this particular one, you can play all your LPs and your 78s all with one needle. But I don't think that's a great idea because you'd wear out the needle because your 78s are scratchy as heck, and you'd be wearing out the needle too fast, and you have to buy another one from the manufacturer.
Well, the needle technology has gotten pretty advanced. There's multi-$100 needles that I know people that use them, really high-end stuff. So I'm not sure, you know, I'm not too much into that, but I definitely know once you can get some, you know, get a $300 needle that just sounds amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm glad I picked up this album, and, you know, I wasn't even looking for anything like that. I was just thumbing through all the albums there of different things, and I said, wow, I got to get this, you know what I mean? Because I'm a pretty big fan of JFK, right? So it's a great find. I'm happy.
So JFK, I mean, what do you guys think? You think think Oswald did it? Or do you think there was more to
this? There was an event at Conspiracy Culture last week. It was Judith Ferry Baker reappeared there. She's says that she was the girlfriend of Lee Harvey Oswald. He was married to this Russian woman, but
Was it Dr. Mary's Monkey or something?
Yeah, she's in that. So she was the lab assistant in that when they're doing some. So they're ties in all this. Like there's this mafia going on in New Orleans, and they've got the secret lab. They're doing government testing, this some cure for the cancer, and it's like it's a hardcore story, but then she's written the latest book on one of these guys that's in the David Ferry, one of these guys that's in the JFK conspiracy. And like in the JFK movie, it's the guy that Joe Pesci plays. I don't know if you remember that guy. He's got big eyebrows.
Right.
But they're apparently they're all fake. It's like he just wore a wig and fake eyebrows. That's why it looks, looks like a crazy character.
So Judith Very Baker, she was over at Conspiracy Culture in Toronto.
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah, like? I guess it was a few days after they had just done that big event. They had George Norian and is it the guy from Ancient Aliens? It was a big sold out event they did. And then so they brought her in for that, and then she's there to like release the book launch, and then she kept talking about how this weekend for the JFK reunion or anniversary or whatever is she is hosting her own conference. And she explained why it was because there's this other one, the main one that happens, the JFK Lancer. They won't deal with her at all. So it's like who really knows what's up with the main JFK research conspiracy research newsletter if they won't talk with Judith Very Baker. But then they got her own. It's got what's it? I guess Chris Milligan. It's the JFK Assassination Conference, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. So I guess it starts today and then it goes till Monday in Texas, Arlington, Texas.
Right. Now I know Popeye of Down the Rabbit Hole here on Truth Frequency Radio. If you go to federaljack.com, I'm sure you could find his archived interviews with Judith Very Baker. I know she's been around the alternative media quite a bit. And I think she was on Clyde Lewis the other night. But I'm pretty sure Popeye's got the most in-depth, longest interview with Judith Very Baker that I've ever heard. I think like several hours of content with that. And you can find that over at federaljack.com.
But yeah, it looks like they got Jim Mars, Jerome Corsi, Ed Haslam, who wrote The Doctor's Merry Monkey, Judith Very Baker. This looks like a pretty big conference. Chris Milligan and Tosh Plumlee, the guy that was the former CIA. He's a CIA whistleblower. Because I just remember hearing his name a few weeks ago when I saw this clip where they confronted John McCain about the funding of the Libyan revolution, and he denied it all, and then how those weapons are now in Syria and stuff. And and then the guy, McCain goes, "Oh, you've been misinformed." And then the guy asking him the question goes, "Oh, Tosh Plumlee, this ex-CIA guy. It looks like he's going to be at this conference too." A lot of whistleblowers, I guess. That's where it's like there's a lot of names in the JFK research thing, but the question, I guess there's still a lot of questions. Because everyone, you notice that the people have different angles, they have different different thoughts on what actually happened.
Yeah, there was one video we saw about the driver of the not limousine, but the car that JFK was in.
The motorcade.
The motorcade. The driver had apparently slowed down the car. It shouldn't have been going that slow. And it looks like he turns around with something in his hand and points at that JFK and shoots. So I don't know where that came from. I think is that in the original, if I pronounce his name right, Zapruder?
Yeah,
one?
They say they had an original that one that William Cooper was able to get a copy of, and then that's in the Behold a Pale Horse, where he says it was the driver. And then he's got the unedited video where you actually see a thing of smoke fly up from where he just shot and stuff. And
yeah, I actually asked James Fetzer about that too. And I asked him, because I mentioned the driver looking back, and I asked him if he actually had anything to do with it, and James said no. He was looking back at JFK after he was shot. So
yeah, that's also possible. He's he's one of the speakers too at this conference, JFK assassination.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. See the driver to me had to have been in on it. Now I know what Mark's talking about. It kind of looks like he could have been the shooter, or he could have had something in his hand and shot the way his arm was. But again, from what I saw, all the footage I've seen, the video is not clear enough to definitely tell if he's got anything in his hand or not. Now, I haven't seen this other video in question,
But it does blatantly appear that he slows down, turns, and waits to get confirmation that JFK's, you know, been taken care of before he stands on the gas, which is against procedure. So if he didn't shoot him, he was the driver was in on it. To me, what I saw was the driver turning, getting visual confirmation that the target has been eliminated before he stepped on the gas.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? I could be wrong on that too. I don't know. I mean, that could be just explained by looking back and going, "What the hell's going on here?" And then take.
Yeah, that could be it too.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I don't, you know, those who think that the driver could be the shooter, I get where they're coming from. Myself, I can't tell if the person in the video does have or doesn't have something in their hand because it's not clear enough to me. The footage is just too blurry.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and then you have Connolly in the passenger side there, who's possibly could see the driver have something in his hand as well. Then you had Jackie still looking forward, and she could probably see that he had something in his hand and nobody tried to stop him, so it doesn't really kind of fit in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing was there was witness testimony that the car was full of bullets in the front, which would indicate, you know, more than one shooter or somebody who was shooting had an automatic weapon.
Did you see in one of the videos that one of the Secret Service guys got off? They have stands on the back of the car on both sides, right? And had looked like one of the. Oh, I guess we've got a break. I guess we'll pick it up after the break.
Yeah, we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to AllGov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, Deej.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him. Right here on Freedom Link, Monday through Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor. And get out of here.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try iodine now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine now. Only at MUSA.org.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision the UN's founders.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on truthfrequencyradio.com. And I was just wondering, I had a question to pose to the guys. Out of the two former defense secretaries, Donald Rumsfeld and Hillary Clinton, who was worse? What do you guys think?
Well, for me, I think they're about neck and neck.
Yeah, I'd say it's a pretty close race. Who's the bigger scumbag? I don't know.
Well, depending on which way they're running. Maybe they're running their asses first. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big toss-up to me.
Exactly.
I can't decide on who's the bigger scumbag. It's hard to say. But anyways, we were talking about it 51 years ago today was the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Now, to me, you know, looking into it, it seemed, you know, my view is that elements, criminal elements within the government whacked this guy because I guess he wasn't doing what they wanted him to do. And they seem to have used it as a trauma-based mind control because a lot of the population that grew up in those times believed that it was an assassination by the powers that be. So it's basically the criminal crime syndicate, the globalists, you know, took this guy out, and the people just accepted it. They're like, yeah, you know, our own, you know, criminal elements of our government whacked our own president, and they just sat there and accepted it.
Well, not everyone. There's people that have been researching it since it's happened. Yeah, like 51 years people have put in.
Yes, there's those people like that, you know, the groups that we've been talking about have been researching it and looking into it and trying to expose it. But what I'm saying is that the general population that believes that, yes, it was a conspiracy and some type of inside job dropped the issue. That's what I'm saying. Like, they accepted that, yeah, our own government killed our own president. And they just dropped, the general public dropped it. And the reason I say that is because most of the public believe that it's a conspiracy. And we're now 51 years later, and we still can't get to the bottom of this crime.
And well, didn't,
because in order to find out and to bring the people to justice who orchestrated and pulled off the attacks of September 11th, we're first going to have to figure out who did the JFK assassination. Mm-hmm. I think, anyway.
Well, didn't JFK? I don't know when that speech was done that he did, but about making the government more open to, you know, like nothing should be hidden and you know, stuff like that. He made a speech about that. I don't know when that came about.
I think that was a little bit. I guess earlier in this. Yeah, 61, I believe.
But John Kennedy, wasn't he associated with secret societies? Like the Illuminati or other things like that? Wasn't he part of that, from what I heard?
Yeah, that's why there is the conspiracies was that it was just an inside thing, like an inside job between the secret societies. They just had to take care of their secrets, I guess, from getting out. Because who knows if they had stuff on him? Like, there's the one conspiracy I heard was that he was involved with the Marilyn Monroe death, that she didn't actually die of an overdose; she's actually murdered. And that she had been having an affair with him, right? But then that's, you know, you don't really know. It's just like rumors that JFK had affairs with all kinds of women, but you definitely could tell that his wife, like, cared about him because she sort of became a recluse after, right? She didn't really appear much.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they, like, the Kennedys were probably the first commercial presidential family to be open in the public, you know what I mean, with their kids and driving around and seeing them on vacation and stuff like that. They were the first one of that gender to be like that, to have vacations all over.
Yeah, they say he's the first TV president,
right? Yeah.
For television, because he won one of the debates. He won, apparently, was he won it because Nixon was sweating. That people that heard the radio debate thought Nixon won, but then JFK actually won the TV debate because Nixon looked like he's sweating and like a frantic guy, but JFK is like a smooth TV guy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
In that sense, that's where you see Obama's parallels with JFK. But yeah, you can tell JFK had, you know, he's a lot of stuff is attributed to him. And then that's where there's the theories of who would actually benefit from taking him out and why would they do it. Because there's the one about that he wanted to audit the Fed.
Right.
There's one that he wanted to smash the CIA into a 1,000 pieces. And there's also, you know, there's the conspiracies, the stuff that he was doing in Cuba, that it was just the communists had to take him out. And then the other was that and you can actually see the memos. They released these a few years ago with that he's actually looking for all of the UFO research. And he signs these like a few weeks before as well as that audit the Fed one. And then there's the oil conspiracy as well, because they connect LBJ with the oil cartels and then there's oil stuff.
Yeah, so there are a lot of things that actually occurred that gave reason to the certain parts of the government taking him out, because mm-hmm. he was revealing a lot of stuff, and they didn't
and
want then, that.
And they say that he was against the Vietnam War. That was the other
problem. Right. Yeah, he's going to bring the troops home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think Lyndon Johnson had a lot to do with the conspiracy as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Judy Vary Baker definitely said that when she was at Conspiracy Culture, too. I remember her saying that.
Exactly. So
there had been guests invited to his ranch in Texas or whatever for a barbecue, and that he had called them that morning and told them don't put the roast on, the barbecue's off or whatever.
Right.
And then she said there's people that still have these memories that were actually invited.
Hey, George W. Bush's father was head of CIA at that time.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he was the head then, but he was like a young guy then, so he would have been just a young agent. But the one guy that did actually a deathbed confession, E. Howard Hunt.
E. Howard Hunt, yes.
Was apparently the lookout. He was dressed as a bum, and he was the spotter for the shooter at the Grassy Knoll. Like, he was actually on the hill as the spotter. And they actually have pictures of him where you actually see him down there on the day dressed as a guy. Dressed as a homeless guy. So that's where I believe that the deathbed confession probably had some reality to it. And yeah, Howard Hunt got famous from the Watergate stuff. He was connected with the Nixon scam at Watergate.
Yeah, 1973, I believe that was the year.
Yeah, that's like 10 years after, right?
10 years after, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
That's where it's like... it's like there's definitely pieces that are put to, you can put pieces together, you know, if you see there's a guy that admits to being there and part of the job was to take out the president, and then they have like a picture of a guy that looks like him dressed as like a, you know, like a bum, like a homeless guy, a drifter. It's like, really, what actually happened here? And then The other one was the warning shots. And they say that people don't talk as much about it, and they didn't focus on it much in the movie. But apparently JFK had had a few other incidents where there had been shootings near him, but he didn't get shot. But they call him the warning shots. And Judy Vera Baker even says that she believes that Oswald was there, was brought in to do the warning shots, and he intentionally missed, they were just warning shots, and that just because they didn't like what he was doing or something. And then she paints the picture that Oswald was actually trying to save his life, and that he intentionally missed the shots, but then the other shooters, I guess, hit them.
Well, what's this connection with Oswald with Cuba? Apparently, Oswald was defending Castro and trying to protect him or his country, something like that, from a U.S. attack or something like that. And that's maybe why he did intentionally miss, gave out warning shots, and maybe tried to thwart the assassination. But I don't know much about that, his situation.
Well, it's possible that he, if he really is a secret agent guy, and that he knew a lot more than, most people knew what was going on behind the scenes, then maybe he realized it was a stage thing, that, Castro isn't really anti-American. But, that could be stretching it, but then, there is conspiracies that Castro is actually a deep, agent himself. American agent put in there. And part of it doesn't make sense how they'd have Guantanamo Bay still. Because there was the Bay of Pigs thing that happened with JFK, right? And they brought all these troops, invaded Cuba, and it didn't work out. But they still got that part of the island where they still have, they're supposed to send all these 9/11 terrorists and all these people there. Guantanamo Bay, it's an illegal torture facility. How could... Cuba allow that on there?
I know, there's Cuba and America supposedly hate each other, but Cuba, we'll allow you to keep a prison here, a torture prison, for you to ship detainees here and torture the crap out of them.
Yeah, that part never makes sense.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is impressive that it's still Castro still around, though, because it was Castro back in JFK's time, too, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, you had the Operation Northwoods as well at that time. And I think that JFK dwarfed that, and that's another one of the things that took him out.
Yeah, was that the one where they were going to do airlines flying into buildings?
Flying into buildings, yeah. On record, yeah.
Yeah, stage false flag, but that was supposed to be in Miami or something, right? And they were going to blame it on Cuba or something.
Yeah, exactly. But then I guess after that didn't happen, they just thought they did put it on ice for a while until 9/11 came up, and that was another part of the part of the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
So it all ties from that time. It all ties into 9/11 and what's going on today, right? It's all linked together in that big humongous puzzle.
No, and the attacks of September 11th wasn't the first time that the World Trade Centers were attacked. They were attacked before then in a failed attempt.
1993, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a patsy running in there that the feds were handling the whole time. So
That's the kind of things that they do. They get these patsies or some guy that's on drugs or whatever they got for doing these type of things, and they put them in there, and they foil their own plot.
So, they staged the first the first World Trade Center terror attack on record, admittedly. But no, they wouldn't do this. They didn't do the second one, no.
Yeah, no, they would never do that. Got to give them the benefit of the doubt. But it all ties in,
And why, in the first attack, why wouldn't they have that car with all those explosives in it? Not close enough to the Trade Center building. Now, why would they do that? That doesn't seem right, unless it's just a scare tactic for things to come down the road.
Yeah, well, I think that first one, some of the people they had on the inside did not go along 100% according to plan. And but that's the thing. I don't know if the plan was to take down the building or just to have an attack. But I do believe that if you research it, there's people that were inside that did not follow through with orders and kind of let the cat out of the bag ahead of time. So I'm not sure if the first attack went according to their plans or not. It may have been foiled from within.
And by the way, was
that's some of the claims that are going on from the 93 attack on the World Trade Center.
But you're going to need, like, to bring down buildings like that, even in the first time, you need something a little bit better to do it with, not just a van load of explosives or whatever. You have to have something that actually can bring a building down, but which didn't happen. So.
Well, according to the 9/11 Commission, all you need is some jet fuel or kerosene and a match.
And a match.
Yeah.
That was probably the bright flash that you saw when the airplane was coming to the building. You see a bright flash. That's probably the match going off.
Yeah.
But I've sent a link there, I think, last week about the no plane type of scenario. I think I put a link up there last week.
Oh, I don't know. I must have missed it.
Yeah. they're talking about... the planes that are supposed to be flying that day didn't fly, and stuff like that. So they switched everything to drones or whatever, or a military type of aircraft. So, like,
so that would explain, Mike. Yeah, Mike, that would explain then controlled demolition. You don't need a plane then.
Of course not.
It could have been just a movie that was shown on there with planes going into the building. Anything's possible.
Because one eyewitness said the one plane almost, or whatever it was, almost went through the whole building, going through the 47 steel columns right through to the other side. How can an airplane do that? It's only aluminum, unless it's a missile that hit the building.
Well, the engines would be able to.
Penetrate. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, most of the plane would not.
It would just like hit the building and crumple up. And then just fall to the ground. But there were no airplane parts found at the crash site, except for that one engine that doesn't even look like it fits anything underneath scaffolding. How did it get underneath the scaffolding?
Well, here's the thing. There's the molten steel. Now, many will say there was none, but, you know, the firefighters and many eyewitnesses and the evidence shows that there's molten steel there. Now, if the airplane was anywhere near where melting steel is, well, there's not going to be any airplane left because aluminum melts at a lower temperature than the steel. So if the steel's melting, the plane's melted.
Yeah.
The plane's been liquefied. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying that that's a possibility. If there's a lack of plane parts, it doesn't mean that a plane didn't fly into it. It could mean that it melted into, into chunks.
And well, what about seats and now, the body parts?
Jet fuel won't melt the plane or the steel. Okay, so one has to ask, what the hell melted the steel, and where did the plane go? Now, my assumption is that I'm assuming a plane did hit the building. And that most of the plane melted with the thermite or whatever the heck caused the steel to melt. But jet fuel, which is kerosene, does not burn hot enough to melt steel girders in a concrete steel structure.
And not long enough. Like but the fires only left.
Hot enough.
Yes. Yeah, the fires only lasted for about 15 minutes at most. The rest of all black smoke and eventually white smoke. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Continue.
Yeah, just like you get all the white and the black smoke, meaning the fires don't have any oxygen, so it's burning itself out. Because some of the firemen went up to the 78th floor and said there were just two pockets of fire. They could put it down with two lines, and that was it.
Yeah, and when I was looking at the footage. Of a plane supposedly going into the Trade Center. And if the plane falls to the ground, let's say, and breaks up into many parts, most of the footage I saw from there was from far away. So I don't know if there's anybody there cleaning up any plane parts or anything. I can't see.
all I can see is the building, and then they keep showing the building on fire, and eventually it collapses. I don't see what's going on up by the building. I have no idea. Well, I can't really come to any conclusion.
What should have happened, and this is just my view, is that in a normal scenario, the plane would have crashed into the building. It would have, much of the plane probably would have had a hard time penetrating that building and crumpled up and fallen to the ground onto the outside. And the plane parts that ended up in the building would have remained there after a fire. Fire, the jet fuel, most of the jet fuel burnt off on the moment of impact, and then the remainder would have burnt off, and then you would have sent crews up there to clean the parts out. It would not have caused a skyscraper like that to collapse in on itself at free fall speed through the path of most resistance, which is the vertical steel columns. But hey, what would I know about gravity?
Yeah. But that's just, you know, you can come up with different scenarios and stuff like that, but we all know there wasn't planes that brought the building down anyway, so we can rule that out, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those things, it's like JFK, I mean, it's, I think it's important for the population not to just realize that something bad's happened, but to, don't accept it. Like JFK, the downside of that is too many people who know something's wrong there just accepted it and just kept on like everything was normal. You know, we can't accept that, okay, it's an inside job, so what do? That's not acceptable. We can't accept that the criminals within our own government can stage these kind of events and get away with this.
Yeah, but these people are so well protected, like it's hard to really go after them, you know, because they have Secret Service and security around them 24/7. So, you know, but they slip up every once in a while. I'm saying, a missile hit the Pentagon, or the Flight 93 was shot down. So, yeah, they slip up every once in a while, and that's how you get some of the piece of the puzzle. You know, got to listen to their speeches until they slip up on them certain things.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the few videos that we have on the Pentagon, it does look like it could be a missile. It's hard to tell what it is, but again, we know that it's the Pentagon and it is surrounded by cameras. And if they want to clear up the confusion, they would just show us proper footage of what hit the Pentagon. But they still, to this day, will not show us. So we have to sit here and speculate. When it comes to Flight 93 and the slip up of them saying that they shot it down, that would corroborate the lack of debris from Flight 93. If you look at the supposed crash site, it doesn't look like any crash site of any passenger airliner that I've ever seen or that anyone's ever seen. Like it looks fake or something. Either that or it's a tiny piece of the plane landed there. But you see no parts of the plane, and all you see is a divot in the soil, not big enough for an airliner. So if it was shot up, if it was blown out of the sky, then it's more likely to break into smaller parts, and you're not going to have like a one massive plane landing on the ground. You're going to have bits and pieces. But again, that's hard to say. I mean, I don't know, you know, whether there was a flight shot down or that even crashed.
Well, just look up. Just look up the Air Force that actually shot down Flight 93. Check that out. I think it gave a video of the Happy Hooligans.
Right, the Happy Hooligans.
Yeah, they're getting an award, an Airman's Medal, for what they did on 9/11. Because they had to come in to take care of the skies on 9/11. So the Happy Hooligans are the ones that shot Flight 93 down. Because they were in the area at the time. They were called in.
I wonder if the Happy Hooligans know who shot the missile at the Pentagon.
You never know.
Did the Pentagon shoot a missile at the Pentagon?
I think there were two planes, weren't there?
Oh, there appears to have been two planes, yeah.
Did the
Pentagon shoot itself?
In the foot, so to speak.
On purpose.
Probably explosions like in the
some
building.
Kind of like a sympathy. Oh, look, I shot myself. Give us more money and we got to increase security. And I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Increase security? And they shut off all... Here's the FBI.
What I'm going to claim right now, that the Pentagon shot itself with a missile, okay? And if they want to prove otherwise, they can release the footage of what the hell hit the Pentagon. Otherwise, you know, I'm claiming the U.S. government shot itself. The Pentagon shot itself with a missile.
And it's up to them to prove you wrong.
Well, yeah, the few videos we have, that doesn't look like a passenger airliner whatsoever. Could be a missile, possibly a cruise missile. And since they have the footage from all angles of the Pentagon surrounding the building and refuse to release it, we're relying on gas station footage and whatever other security camera was around at private businesses. We only have a few videos to analyze, and they're sketchy at best, but from those videos, it looks like a missile. Pentagon refuses to release the evidence, so thereby, you know, the Pentagon shot itself with a missile and has gone around shooting everybody else in the world with missiles because, you know, it shot itself with a missile and blames everyone else now.
Like Jamie McIntyre was the correspondent there at the Pentagon, said that he saw no airplane parts whatsoever there, and he was right there. Saw nothing there.
Yeah, well, a passenger airliner never would have fit in the hole that's in the side of the Pentagon. There's no way. You look at the hole, scale up the size of an airliner, there's no way it fits in there.
But a missile could, right? Because it's lower to the ground.
Oh, definitely. A missile could, because it doesn't have the massive wings on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Either a much smaller plane or a missile. Definitely a missile could fit in there. Or a much smaller, like a tiny plane.
An eyewitness said that he looked like a missile with wings.
Yeah.
You get the small little wings on it, right?
Yeah, and the one cruise missile that some point to, it looks a lot like the cruise missile that they point to. Like, because the cruise missile looks like it's got a small set of wings almost on it, the shape of it. You look at those videos, I'm telling you, it looks like a cruise missile that the Pentagon fired at itself.
Not the law of the jungle.
Anyways, on to the next war on terror. We'll be right back after the break.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support True Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take True Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube. We're bringing a whole bunch of great new additions to YouTube.
Over the years, we've noticed that a large amount of copyrighted material is uploaded by our users, which is not okay with us. So we've revamped our content identification system to make it so if you even so much as steal a quote or use a line from a movie or TV show, your video will immediately be taken down.
And finally, in order to reduce our bandwidth costs and make videos even cheaper for us to host, we've made it so that videos will always play in the lowest possible quality, 240p. This way, everyone can enjoy fast video speeds and barely average video quality.
YouTube Plus. What are you gonna do about it?
Hangar 18, your TFR Roundtable. Saturdays on True Frequency Radio.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
Welcome to Detroit City. I said welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go. Man, we deep, everywhere we roll.
Welcome back to Detroit Broke City in this brave new economic order that we're in. Anyways, aside from my repairing shopping cart business, we've been stealing barbecues on the side, trying to make some extra coin, keep the show going. You gotta do what you gotta do in this crappy new economy. But I'm just joking, folks. I don't fix shopping carts anymore. So anyways, guys, I've got this here. CNN Politics: President Obama's speech on immigration is remarkably similar to the one President Bush gave in 2006. And this is from his speech a couple days ago, November 20th, 2014. Let's just have a listen and see what President Obola has to say, and President Bush. Apparently they're quite the same.
My fellow Americans,
I've asked for a few minutes of your time
to talk with you about
the reform of America's immigration system. We must begin by recognizing the problems with our immigration system.
Our immigration system is broken, and everybody knows it.
Once here, illegal immigrants live in the shadows of our society.
They remain in the shadows or risk their families being torn apart.
We're a nation of laws, and we must enforce our laws.
Even as we are a nation of immigrants, we're also a nation of laws.
We're also a nation of immigrants, and we must uphold that tradition which has strengthened our country in so many ways.
For more than 200 years, our tradition of welcoming immigrants from around the world has given us a tremendous advantage over other nations.
The United States must secure its borders.
Today, we have more agents and technology deployed to secure our southern border than at any time in our history.
Some in this country argue that the solution is to deport every illegal immigrant, and that any proposal short of this amounts to amnesty. I disagree.
But even as we focus on deporting criminals, the fact is millions of immigrants in every state of every race and nationality still live here illegally.
Tonight I want to speak directly to members of the House and the Senate. An immigration reform bill needs to be comprehensive because all elements of this problem must be addressed together, or none of them will be solved at all.
Meanwhile, I worked with Congress on a comprehensive fix. And last year, 68 Democrats, Republicans, and Independents came together to pass a bipartisan bill in the Senate.
America needs to conduct this debate on immigration in a reasoned and respectful tone.
My fellow Americans, we are and always will be a nation of immigrants. We were strangers once too.
We must honor the great American tradition of the melting pot, which has made us one nation out of many peoples.
As my predecessor, President Bush, once put it, they are a part of American life.
Okay, that was the immigration speech.
It wasn't a direct copy.
No, but it was pretty much the same speech.
Yeah. Very close, yes.
Yeah, but I don't know what else.
It's a good metaphor for a continuation, I guess. That's what, because Obama was supposed to be hope and change, but then he basically just continued on the Bush legacy.
Yeah, no hope, no change. Not what we want, anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, you elect these people in, we should get rid of parties altogether and have just individuals. Right? Maybe that would be a lot better than just voting for parties. Because sometimes people vote, oh, I want to vote for the party. I'm not voting for him. I'm voting for the party. But then again, you have the leader of the party. So what difference does it make? So maybe just get rid of the party altogether. No left or right or whatever. Just have it all right down the center with no opposition and just vote for the individual. Maybe that would get the better results.
He's probably just out going golfing.
Yeah, that's how he handles his situations. He's out there playing golf, whatever, you know.
Yeah, or gambling in Vegas.
Yeah, gambling in Vegas.
There's immigration announcements. Usually it's always just they're going to find a new way to deport people. But I don't know what they're going to do with the all the riots. They got riots going on in Ferguson, don't they?
Aren't they waiting for another thing to happen where is this cop going to get found guilty of crime or what? Because they're built like people are like boarding up their stores and everything like that. Like there was a tornado or hurricane coming through. That's what they're doing. So they're hoping for the best, but there's the worst. A
potentially race-baited race riot going to happen over this that the federal government and the mainstream media is trying desperately to whip up. So we'll see if they're successful in starting riots. But, you know, this is the work of MSNBC, CNN, and the federal government, the Obama administration, Eric Holder, Al Sharpton, and the federally controlled Black Panthers, as well as the federally controlled Ku Klux Klan. Now, if anyone can't see the positioning of all the puppets and shit puppets for the shit show and thinks they're going to go down there and protest in St. Louis, you're delusional. Why get involved? And there's lots of people that, oh, police brutality. Well, if you looked into the case, all the witnesses corroborate what the police officer said. So there's no video of this. There's no evidence against the police officer. So of course he's going to be acquitted. You know. Now we could go on Facebook or YouTube and watch police officers shoot innocent people that have done nothing all over YouTube. Homeless people of all colors, races, religions, genders, and nothing. Nobody seems to care about that. There's no rioting over that. This whole thing in St. Louis is being caused by the racists over at MSNBC, CNN, and the U.S. federal government trying to stoke and cause this thing. So, I mean, I'm against police brutality, but in this case, I don't see any evidence that the cop was out of order. Or that I don't see that he did anything wrong or that he didn't do anything wrong. There isn't enough evidence. All there is he said, she said, and everyone's corroborating what the police officer said, which means he's most likely going to get off the hook. You know, he's going to be found innocent. So this whole thing, if riots start, it was caused by MSNBC, CNN, and the federal government, which should be charged with sedition, because that's what it is. So
problem, reaction, solution, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like I say, the leader's the KKK, federal agents. Who runs the Black Panthers? Federal agents. Al Sharpton is nothing but a drug dealing propagandist for the federal government. You know, he is the Black KKK.
And right, yeah.
He's federally employed. And he's all over the mainstream media. He is not an advocate for minority rights or anything like that, like they portray him to be. Some type of civil rights advocate. That's a joke. He's the Black KKK. That's who he is. He's the most racist thing going right now. See, people think of racism in the traditional sense that's more overt. That's not what we're dealing with today. Today's racism is covert, and it is in the form of things like Al Sharpton does. But that's why they had to roll out the federally controlled KKK. to promote the traditional form of racism. But no, we're dealing with modern racism, and the biggest modern racists of today are CNN and MSNBC and the federal government trying to get, where people don't have an issue with race in a general sense, they're trying to get them to have an issue with it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people who normally wouldn't even thought about it, or like, yeah, we got to go down there. And it's just ridiculous. We'll see how it plays out. I don't think they're going to be successful, but I could be wrong. I think the American people are smarter than this, and they're not going to fall for the trap of rioting and looting or any of that nonsense, but we'll just have to see. I mean, I could be wrong. Look at the Black Friday shoppers, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? Just time will tell on this one. What do you guys think?
Well, it sure looks to me like they're just hyping a lot of stuff up, and when the shit hits the fan, then we'll get answers there. And but we can't jump to conclusions. Just wait until it ends, and then pick up all the pieces and put them together, and then see what we come up with. But we all know that the mainstream media likes just is in there stirring up the pot, and you know, putting stuff that shouldn't even be there, putting it in there and stuff like that, you know, make their own stew, so to speak. And they're stewing up a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're trying to turn it into a breakaway region, the area of outside of St. Louis, this Ferguson, Missouri area, because then it could get intense if it's like, you know, there's big areas of the Ukraine, they say, that want to break away, Donetsk region or something. There's a Donbass or something, and they're mostly Russian-speaking people. So it's like sort of like a different culture. And then it's like there, the people of Ferguson are like a different culture if it's there. It's in a nonstop protest.
Most of these protests are people from outside of Ferguson. They're for out-of-towners coming in to protest. You know what I mean? There's people from all over the country going to this town. They're not from there. The people in town are the ones stuck with this mess and are having to board up their houses and buy firearms.
Yeah, so then it's not like a breakaway region. Then it's more of like a magnet. It's like drawing all the radicals to one spot.
Now, I'm sure there's local protesters, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying it's drawing in a whole bunch of out-of-towners.
Yeah.
And it's so what you're getting is, you know, a lot of gun sales going through the roof in that area, and it's the locals. These people aren't people planning the protest. They're worried that their house might get burned down or something.
So it's good for business.
Yeah, I guess it's good for business.
Yeah. Any other time, everybody be hurting, and they want to bring in some more revenue. So a crisis is created, and it's good for business.
Yeah, maybe other towns will start staging shooting events and making them racially divided and hype them up in the media just to try to bring tourism in. Kind
sure.
Of bad, you know.
Why not? And then everybody at the media stations, like CBC over here and CB24, will be in business. You know, it's good for business.
Look, we've got to pay for the food stamp highway to Detroit one way or another. How else are we going to trade ketchup packets with those Americans?
Well, I'll probably have to give 10% of my welfare check to the cause.
Yeah.
Sure.
Speaking of martial law, did you hear there's the G20 cop was on the trial this week?
The G20 cop, which one?
Some kind of hearings. Mark Fenton, he was a superintendent, so he was one of the top guys. He's apparently the guy that made the order for the kettling.
Kettling, yeah.
He did it twice, once at the Novotel, and the other one was the one I got stuck in, the one at Spadina and Queen.
Queen, yeah.
When it started pouring rain.
The responsibility, I know, you know, he should be held accountable, but the responsibility of the oath that was sworn by these police officers falls squarely on their own individual selves. If they're given an unlawful order, then why are they following it? If you followed it, well, you know, they should be charged as well. Now, who gave the order? You know, who gave the order for everyone to rip off their badge numbers and then, you know, break Canadian law isn't really that important. It's who followed that order. And whoever followed that order needs to be charged with treason and fired. That's the law, right? And if the
more convenient if they just have one fall guy.
That reality that that's the law, and they engage in treason by doing that. Well, then, you're in the wrong job field. You know, there's no ignorance is no excuse for the law, right? So you can't just rip off your badge and then break the law, break the oath that you sworn to the crown to. That's what they did. Now, whoever gave the order for them to do that, that's not who's in trouble. Who's in trouble is whoever did it. Okay, treason, and you lose your job.
So this cop that is getting charged with kettling
is not a police officer, okay? They attack people of Canada. They attack the country of Canada. They engage in treason. It's that simple. If they can't deal with it, I mean, what, can I run around murdering people? Just because I feel like it? No, it's against the law. So it's the same laws apply to me as apply to these cops. I'm not a sworn officer to the crown. I don't wear a badge. So, yeah, obviously I can't break that law, but I don't know. It's a severe issue to me. And them just trying to go after one guy, I don't know why they're going after him. It's probably not for this, but that's the major issue with me. It's not even the physical attacks. The reports of women being put up in the makeshift Gitmo and literally, I mean, they were being fingered by these police officers, these supposed police officers were sexually assaulting women. They put in these makeshift Gitmo containers.
Yeah, the cages.
But the issue is you don't even have to go that far. Whoever took their badge off and started doing unlawful orders is charged with treason, and, well, you're fired, and you're charged with treason, which means you're going to probably end up doing 5 to 7 years in Canada. Maybe more, but I have a feeling they'd only end up getting 5 to 7 years. But still, that's a law. You want to be cops. You believe in the law so much. Show it.
So are you saying that could be isolated? Don't you think that would actually come up to the up from the top? Telling them, well, that's what you should do, rip off your identification? Or do you think that it was just isolated?
That's why I think this guy could be a fall guy, because, you know, what if it was Blair or Julian Fantino or, you know, there's a lot of officials higher than superintendent guy.
That's right, yeah. So I'm thinking it's come from the higher.
Yeah, but I mean, whoever gave the order, yes, they should be getting in trouble, but that doesn't exonerate the officers that ripped off their badge and did this. The officers that ripped off their badge and did this are guilty of treason and need to lose their job. Go to prison for 5 to 7 years. They think it's a joke. They think their own job's a joke. They think the rule of law is a joke, obviously, because they did this. I don't care who gave them the order. I don't care if it was the bloody Pope. The order was unlawful. It was against the oath that you swore to the crown.
So they should have defied the order.
Exactly. That would have been awful to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Broke it, and it's not, you know, ignorance is no excuse for the law. So I'm being just as hard on them as I would on any other criminal. They need to be held to account just as everyone else should. And if they,
how many of those officers have went to court?
None of
one, maybe two, but I think one. I think just one.
Just one? And how many were involved, you know?
Wasn't there thousands?
Even beating up the people, you know?
Wasn't there thousands of officers involved from all over the province and country?
At least 10,000 anyway.
These officers.
There's reports that there are some that weren't, you know, that were from other militaries of other countries. Like how they, you know, like how the officials now try to say that Russia's sending in covert military people into Ukraine or whatever. It's like those are, you know, you can hear stories here of foreign military entering Toronto for the G20 to defend the.
But they're out of their jurisdiction. Unless you live in a new world order.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, and then that's why they like it, I think, because then it's like they're not really violating their oath if they're not in their, you know, in the place where their oath takes place.
Well, they're in Canada, so if they're a Canadian officer sworn to the crown, I don't care what uniform or what city in Canada they're in, they engage in treason. So all those OPP officers, all those officers from out west or out east, that came in and got paid the big bucks to go work overtime at the G20, any of them that ripped off their badge and attacked the Canadian people are guilty of treason. They need to be locked up, charged with treason. Once you're convicted, you're locked up, serve your sentence, and you never get a job in any type of security or law enforcement ever again. You're completely banished. You've shown you have no loyalty. You're a traitor, and you have no loyalty. And it's disgusting that they were able to get this many police officers to do this. And they don't think they did anything wrong. Well, because they're half-wit, 80 IQ retards. Sorry.
Well, there is also the stage riot, right? And they had the actual property damage was there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the black bloc anarchist protesters that work for the goddamn cops. They got cops in the black bloc.
That's right, yeah. I saw that.
Provocateuring. It's just a joke. And then they go after the peaceful protesters. Yeah. They leave the black bloc alone to burn police cars, and they go after the peaceful protesters. Why? Because, well, those black bloc anarchist communist Marxist retards are actually cops. Okay, and we've caught them time and time again. Even the mainstream media has exposed the provocateurism going on in Canada. It's ridiculous. And, they need to commit Harry Caray. That's what they need to do. Any of these cops engaged, just get rid of yourself. We don't need you here. We don't need you on the force. We don't need you to serve and protect us anymore. We're safe enough. You have no honor. If you had any honor, you'd commit Harry Caray and plunge yourself onto your own sword because you're a traitor, and that's it, you know. And I'm sure there's many cops that didn't engage in this. You know, not all cops are the same, but there was thousands of them from Canada showed up at the G20 and engaged in treason. And you can't just throw one guy under the bus for it. That guy didn't make the other person commit treason. They had a decision whether to follow the unlawful order or not. If they decided to follow it, I mean, how did it work out at Nuremberg for the Nazis? And be like, well, we didn't round them up into camps and kill the people. No, but you locked up teenage girls into cages and started sexually assaulting them.
Same thing here, yeah.
The daughters of Canada being locked in a cage and sexually assaulted by police officers who ripped their badge off and threw it on the ground. These people belong in prison. The ones that engage in that don't need to come back out. Okay? Ever.
Like you said, John, it comes right directly from the top. So he's just following orders. That's basically what he was doing.
But it's not an excuse. It's never been an excuse.
You can defy the order. You can say, no, I'm putting down my guns and I'm walking away. That's all you can do. You can do that.
The whole reason they're supposed to get involved in law enforcement is because they believe in the rule of law and have integrity and try to make the society, you know. Instead, they're just become the biggest criminals going just by following orders blindly.
That's right. They're the cops today are now just ones to enforce the law. That's it. That's all they're supposed to do is enforce the law.
Yeah, one group.
They got revenue generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they send them in for any kind of protest event, I guess. They just want it.
What about the cop who ripped off this
group on?
What about the cop that ripped off this gentleman's his false leg? Remember at Queen's Park?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him?
Yeah, I think that's one of them. I think they might not have even revealed who the cop was, and I think it was even a group of them or something that.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
You know, but the cops are getting careless with that kind of stuff because they said that they had left. I think it was in the U.S. somewhere in the U.S. They left a girl's prosthetic arm. Some like the police had it somehow, and they left it at a fast food restaurant or something.
<It's> really? Like, oh, gee.
How does that happen? Good,
yeah.
Like you can't leave a prosthetic arm at a KFC. Yeah. So it's like that. No wonder that guy didn't get his walking sticks and stuff back, his pair of glasses. Because that was always the conspiracy: is did some Toronto cop or something keep those as a trophy? It's like you're able to arrest a handicapped guy. Because they could have bets between themselves, you know, like what kind of character could you get, you know? Because they're probably, obviously they're trying to get the young girls because they can do the strip searches, but then they got like there's the guy with one leg, John Prine, and there's other people in wheelchairs that are being kept in these cages as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what does this say to the rest of the world and the rest of Canada, like, welcome to Ontario, OPP, home of the Nazi rapists. That's what the world saw, a bunch of Nazis running around attacking peaceful Canadians, allowing their paid provocateurs, their fellow agents, to run around and burn everything. And then it came out that they're, you know, sexually assaulting people. So the Nazi rapists in Canada, that's our police force, according to the world. And that's the image they portrayed at the G20. And there was many OPP officers there. So I guess the OPP, home of the Nazi rapists, that should say across the side of their goddamn car. The Ontario Provincial Police. Nazi rapists. Why not? You like it so much, wear it proudly, you Nazi racist scumbags. I don't know. I'm gonna be mad at this until they're behind bars for a long time. We're paying these people our tax money to run around and beat fellow citizens for no reason and then rape our daughters who've done nothing. And this is Canada. Oh, we're so free in Canada. You know, these delusional hockey watchers. All they know is about hockey. I think we're free. Yeah, let me know how free you are after your daughter gets raped by a cop. And then the cop gets away with it. The cop.
He gets away, hides behind the badge, yeah. That's the problem, John. They're sworn to the crown. That's the problem.
The crown doesn't. No, the problem is they don't obey the oath of the crown. If they did, they wouldn't be able to rape people or attack Canadians or throw their badge on the ground.
That's what they should have done, is every one of them should have thought about it and said, no, I'm not putting up with this, and throw their badges or their guns and everything on the ground.
On the ground, because the oath to the crown does not permit them to attack Canadians. That's why they threw their badge on the ground.
That's what serve and protect is.
Yeah, but that's why they did it, because the oath to the crown does not allow them to do what they did. And that's why they're engaged in forge.
For ourselves exactly. And you're right, future John.
Generations. Anyway, there is no exit.
World order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct
Have
of
a good night, everybody. Be safe. When we
are... Now I'm covered.
Now for the first time, you can be covered. If you've been waiting to be covered in mandates, regulations, and new fees, the time is finally here. So make some coffee.
I'm covered.
Approach life with reckless abandon. Kick your feet up.
I'm covered.
Because you're going to be in the waiting room for quite a while.
Healthcare.gov is not responsible for fulfilling any of the expectations, mandates, legal requirements, hopes, or dreams of any users. Results may vary. Consult your Obamacare-approved doctor or pharmacist to find out if Obamacare is right for you. Current waiting lists to have your doctor chosen for you are unavailable and will remain so for the foreseeable future. Obamacare may cause wait times, a decline in healthcare quality, money loss, political activism, anger, despair, hopelessness, frustration, European envy, dependence, and nausea. If you discover that your premiums have gone up as a result of Obamacare, please note that the program is working as intended and refrain from complaining. Call your doctor if you experience anxiety for longer than 4 hours. If you wish to opt out of Obamacare for any reason, please start a multi-million dollar business, join a union, or run for Congress.